Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, can I just put out a little ears warning, and to my dad who might be listening, turn over to Radio 1 now because...
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes. It is sex therapy time, and last week we had so many listeners' queries in for our Q&A. We're going to continue it today. If you have a question for Rachel, you can text me right now. Hopefully we'll get to it. 51552. And joining me in the studio is our relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Morning, Jen. How's it going?
Really good. I'm going to start with a really... We've lots to get through.
All right, all right.
So I'm going to plough on. This one is quite long, but I think it's very common. So I'm going to put it to you. This texter says, or it was an email, I think, I met a guy on Tinder a few weeks ago. We really hit it off. We met for a coffee. And 4 hours later, we were still on that date. We met 3 days later and had another long coffee date. We met 2 days after that for another. All very lovely. Fun. Easy. He invited me to his house for dinner on Friday. I arrived and stayed till Sunday. It was a fab weekend of drinking and watching box sets and having sex and long conversations. The following week, he messaged me, but made no mention of meeting me again. He texted every day, and by the Thursday, I was a bit disappointed he didn't text at all on the Friday. So on the Saturday, I texted him asking, was everything okay? He said it was. I told him I was a bit confused, and he told me he wasn't a fan of drama. I told him we should leave it here, but a few days later felt I jumped the gun a bit, and I asked him to meet me, and he said he was busy, and I haven't heard from him since. Who was wrong, she says.
This poor person. That sounds like a bit of a nightmare. The thing that stands out to me from that question is the not a fan of drama. You know, I hear this all the time, and people of all genders write it on their profiles and say it, but it tends to be mostly heterosexual men who will say to women that they're not up for drama. And in my experience, what that is often trying to say is that they're signalling that they're unwilling or incapable of making space for another person's feelings. They want a fantasy relationship. Now, of course, this isn't all men. Of course, it's not all heterosexual men. Mm-hmm. But this is where I'm hearing it the most, is whenever a woman expresses that she has a bit of concern, that she maybe feels a bit insecure, or that maybe she's just pointing out that his words are not matching his actions. He will say, I don't want any drama, or I'm I want to be drama-free.
So that line is worrying.
That line is worrying, for sure.
Because you can't voice any concern at all. Jesus, kind of relationship
is
that?
And I think the word gaslighting is being a bit overused these days, but it can be useful to see, you know, to look at the meaning of that. When someone is dismissing your feelings, like, even if that person is like, look, that really wasn't what I intended, you know, you can still have a chat about that rather than saying you're bringing drama and dismissing the person or invalidating or telling them that they're being too sensitive, that they're being crazy, that they're being demanding. So that's, I would say, no drama is sort of that ilk. But I'm also hearing from this person, you know, that she decided that she wasn't going to see him again, and then she went back on that. Now, why did she do that? What happened to, you know, we all do it sometimes, but I think the question there of who's in the wrong, both of you messed up here, and there wasn't communication. What was needed from what I've heard there is for earlier communication about what their expectations were, because it sounds like a lot of assumptions were being made. You know, they're having a lovely time, having sex, or spend loads of time together. One would tend to assume that that means that maybe that will develop into something else. But just because you assume that, just because it's happened before, doesn't mean that's what's going on in the other person's head. So just be more upfront sooner, and then you can figure out whether that's actually something you want to continue with.
Interesting. Hi, Jen. I've lost my sex drive since I lost my mother in October. I know it's down to grief and I'm frustrated, but how can I get it back? My sex drive used to be great.
Oh, the brain is activated in very similar ways when we experience emotional pain, such as grief, as when we experience physical pain. Grief is a physical, emotional and cognitive experience. So is sex. Layer those things together and they get complicated. You know, for some people, their sex drive goes up when they're grieving, because sex releases feel good neurotransmitters and different hormones. It's a pain reliever. So for some people, that can feel great. And also the connection with another person, that can feel, you know, grief is often a very lonely, disconnecting time. So for some people, sex feels great. And for other people, you know, grief can also increase a lot of stress chemicals. So for some people, their sex drive is absolutely It nosedives. Okay. And so really there, I would say talking to your partner, figuring out if you can, again, maybe focus on not having penetrative sex if that's what you normally have. You could engage in different ways and just try to talk about what's going on for you and see if there might be different times of day, different ways of engaging, maybe that you can cuddle with the, you know, that it might be a bit more open as to whether that might become sexual or not. But it's incredibly common with grief and there's no way to say how much time that's going to take. So I just think being as compassionate as you can towards yourself and having good communication with your partner about
it. Hi, Jen and Rachel. Myself and my partner are together over 20 years. We've gone from maybe 2 to 3 times a month to 3 to 4 times a week of having sex and I'm loving it, but I'm afraid he's constantly ringing and texting a girl he works with. Am I feeling very insecure? What's happening?
Well, I'm not quite sure. This person's question here, do they actually know that he's ringing and texting a girl from work, or is that an assumption?
You know,
I'm afraid. So is that, you know, do they already know that they're in contact with this person? I would ask yourself, what has stopped you from discussing this with him already? It may be the person tried and he dismissed them and got angry. I would say start off by saying that you're very happy with the more frequent sex, but you're also concerned about what's going on. You know, don't lead with an accusation unless you actually have tangible proof. But I would say, you know, there's just, there could be any sort of reason why he's having more sex. He potentially, it's very normal as well to be attracted to someone else when they've been together 20 years. It's very normal to be attracted to someone else no matter how long you've been together. So I would say there, talk to your partner, check in with what's going on. Don't lead with an accusation, but also don't be saying nothing because, you know, it does seem like potentially pretty shady behaviour.
Mm. Okay, when my partner hugs me, he keeps his crotch stepped back. Is this wrong?
Well,
that's a weird one.
I would say to that, there's no right or wrong way to hug. If it works for both or however many people are involved in the hug, then cool. But it sounds like it's bothering the person who's written in. So I would say, ask him why he's done that. Now, not all people who use the pronouns he, him have a penis, but if he does have a penis, he may be trying to avoid getting an erection, or he may already have one and is trying to not have you notice that or feel that. Maybe he's uncomfortable with that sort of intimacy. Maybe hugging represents something difficult or painful for him. Maybe there's a cultural element to it, depending on where he's from, how he's been brought up. So just ask him.
Hi there, Rachel. I'm in a relationship for years and recently I can't get an erection. I don't know why, this texter says. I'm afraid my partner's going to leave me soon. Please, any advice?
Oh, just, you know, I would check in with yourself what's changed. Sometimes that's purely age, although I think we can often put down to age what doesn't have to be. So check in what's changed over time. Maybe you're finding that what you do sexually with your partner isn't as exciting to you. Maybe you've been particularly stressed at work. Maybe you're on a certain medication. So check in if anything's changed. Talk to your partner. See if there might be a different kind of stimulation. And also just check, you know, if you're getting an erection on your own but not with your partner, that might tell you something about your sex routine, if you've gotten into routine, or the type of stimulation physically.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Hi, Jen. I'm a male and we have lots of sex, I presume, in his partner, and we make each other climax, but she wants to get a vibrator. Is this normal?
It's completely normal, completely healthy. There's lots of different ways to orgasm. There's lots of different types of orgasm. I think it's very important to not see it as a threat to your ego. You know, whatever, you know, I find that often men and people with penises can be very threatened by the idea when the heterosexual men in relationships with women can find vibrators quite a threat to their ego. And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything about your penis. You know, sometimes I think especially for people with vulvas, they often find it harder to climax, which has traditionally been seen as just that it's harder to make someone with a vulva orgasm. But it seems to be usually that, especially in heterosexual relationships, the research shows that men simply haven't taken the time to get to know women's bodies. Women don't feel comfortable enough to share verbally what sort of stimulation gets them off. So, you know, basically talk more about what might work. And don't be worried about a vibrator.
Exactly.
It's got nothing to do with your willy.
Exactly. Hi, Jen. Can you ask Rachel how you move on from a relationship where you know there's no future.
If there is no, well, focus on why you see this, why you see there's being no future. Go through, if you have decided there's no future, go over and over the valid reasons and be truthful to yourself. Now, possibly you might be making assumptions about that relationship, either because you've been hurt in the past or by another person or other people. Maybe it's that you've been hurt by this person, you've been let down by them, disappointed. Chat to them, don't make assumptions. If you genuinely don't feel that there's any future in the relationship, then ask yourself what you're clinging on to. You know, is it that you're afraid you're going to really miss the sex because the sex is good? Is it that it feels like having somebody there is better than having nobody? Mm. If that's the case, fill those gaps yourself. You know, if it's about the sex, masturbate more. Go find some really good ethical porn. Work on your fantasies. If it's about having, you know, just having someone there, a bit of companionship, then work on developing your friendships, deepening those other relationships, because, you know, often we stay in relationships because of the fear of what it does provide being gone, when the things that it's not providing or that it's, you know, causing us
fill
us pain
those
and strife.
Gaps. Pilled really gaps. Interesting. We're going to take a quick break and come back with a text that came in from a 21-year-old gay man who is really anxious when he's in bed with another guy. Don't go anywhere. 2FM. Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, 1124. I'm here with Rachel Cook, our relationship and sex therapist. Gotta do this.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, we are still in our sex therapy session, so this is not for little ears or sensitive ears or my dad's ears. Okay, so back to our texter, Rachel. This texter says, I get really anxious when I'm in bed with another guy. It's starting to really have an effect on my mental health. I get really panicked and I have to stop every single time, and it's becoming a huge burden on me. Do you have any advice as to how I can battle my relationship / sex anxiety?
Big time.
I'm 21. I'm a gay man.
Okay. So he specifically said that he's a gay man. So that, I would say that it could be to do with past experiences. Maybe this person has had past trauma, and the body remembers. You know, sometimes you might not have a kind of visual, explicit memory of something, but your body can still go into shutdown, fight, flight or freeze is often the different stress responses that we go into. And they can also come out in different ways. And we might find that we sort of, some people faint, some people get really tired, some people, you know, sort of just feel very, very disconnected. So all of these are stress responses. So panicking, you know, that's a form of freeze. It's where internally you're revving up and you're feeling very, very anxious, but often you might be quite frozen or moving very slowly on the outside, mm-hmm. or quite literally having a panic attack where you feel that you can't breathe. So I would say, first of all, check in with what the physical sensations or symptoms are of what's going on. You know, is it racing thoughts? Is it that you get sweaty? Is it that you feel like you can't breathe? Breathe well. And then, you know, check in with how what might be the trigger as to what's happening. Is it when you're doing a certain thing in bed? Is it afterwards when you're lying there together and things feel a bit sort of calmer, or there might be a different kind of intimacy? So working out, sometimes it's not that clear what it is that might be setting us off, or it might be a combination of things, but that can be quite helpful. And then exploring, like, how much of this, you know, as open as Ireland and, you know, the world is starting to be in terms of sexuality, gender, and even, you know, relationship diversity, there is still a lot of internalized, you know, fear and homophobia,
the trauma
that many people have experienced. And so that could be something that might be worth exploring as well, where you might, you know, in your own mind be perfectly fine with being gay and see there being absolutely nothing wrong with that, whatever someone's sexuality. But that doesn't mean that there hasn't still been messages that have gone in through your education, through religion, through general cultural societal messages that may be sending you the message to your body at the time that something that you're doing is wrong or dangerous or bad.
So explore it, because it's not right then, and that shouldn't be happening.
Well, and you don't, you know, it's a bit like experiencing pain during sex. You don't need to expect that that's just something that you have to put up with. You don't need to feel anxious. Now, of course, there might always be sometimes where we feel a bit like, oh, this is something a bit new, or it's a bit unfamiliar, or I don't know this person that well and we're just getting to know each other. Some people are naturally more sensitive and more likely to feel a bit of anxiety, but it doesn't mean that you have to go through sex having, you know, sporadic or frequent panic attacks.
Hi, Jen. I have a question. I've never had an orgasm having sex. I was wondering what could be up.
Oh, well, the person hasn't shared what genitals they have. But, you know, that could be... I often hear that this is more common with people with vaginas and vulvas, whether they are having less orgasms during sex. But either way, first find out, are you able to have sex when you're masturbating? Oh, sorry, are you able to orgasm when you're masturbating? That can tell you a lot about whether it's more to do with your comfort or familiarity with another person. Or if you're not masturbating, then maybe start giving that a go. Because there can be lots of reasons why we might not orgasm in someone else's presence. It might be that we simply haven't shared with a partner what gets us off, that what they're doing just isn't very stimulating in the right way. Maybe it feels enjoyable, but it's just not going to get us to climax. So, yeah.
Explore. Hi, Jen. I'm in a relationship 8 years. I got sick 3 years ago and our sex life is almost non-existent now. I myself have a really high sex drive, but he doesn't seem bothered. In the last year, I have sat down and talked to him and he confessed he is worried about hurting me and also feels like there's little point in having sex as I can't orgasm at all and I've not orgasmed in years no matter what we try. Please help.
Oh, there's lots in that one. You know, orgasm does not have to be the point of sex. There are so many reasons why we have sex. Stress relief, to feel connected to our partner, to feel creative, to, you know, be a bit theatrical, to play out different. It could be, you know, different sort of power dynamics that we're interested in. There's so many reasons besides orgasm that we can have sex, and there's so many ways that we can experience pleasure. So I would say just talking to your partner about how it doesn't have to be about that for you. You know, of course, some people really, and lots of people really do want to have orgasms, but that, you know, that doesn't have to be the focus. And then the other part I hear there is about the afraid of hurting this person, that you can just, you know, sometimes it can be traumatic for the partner of someone who's gone through illness or injury, where, you know, or even sometimes when someone's been, you know, pregnant in a relationship, that there can be a sense of fear afterwards, which can lead to a sort of habitual stress response where, again, even though you might cognitively know you're unlikely or just not going to hurt your partner, there can still be a bodily sense that there's something threatening or dangerous about that, which can then be a total libido killer. So, you know, just checking in with your partner what it is that goes on there for him.
Do we have time for one more? One more. Okay. I was dating a guy for 5 months. We had a fantastic relationship and all of a sudden he said he couldn't do it anymore. I was, and I'm still, devastated. I told him recently that I miss him every day. I so want to ask to meet him, but I'm scared he's going to say no. What shall I do?
I would say, be honest. Don't necessarily ask him to meet. You could say, I would really like to meet you, but I'm wondering what's going on for you. It sounds like there just hasn't been enough information here. You know, when someone pulls away after 5 months or after any time, you know, they're not obliged to tell you. It's not, you know, it's not, you're not entitled to that. But unless you've been very clear and upfront, it's very hard to continue with any level of safety in the relationship, because the trust has been eroded when someone backs out like that. And, you know, all you can do is do your best to say, I really, you know, care about you, like spending time with you, would like to continue seeing you. If you're up for sharing more about what's going on for you, I'd really love that and appreciate that. It might be that the person has already had experiences with you where you've shut them down or invalidated them or got really angry, and so they don't want to share. Maybe they're embarrassed. Maybe it's something that feels vulnerable or shameful to them. So I would say, you know, it doesn't have to be this either or, either I ask him to meet me or I don't. Just be honest. I'd really like to meet you. I'd love to know more about what's going on about you and where your head's at. And probably either you'll get the answer of just like, look, I can't do this. And then you have your answer. Or he might open up a bit more and tell you a bit about what's been going on.
We couldn't get through all the texts today. My God, Rachel will be back next week. So you can send them into 51552 and we will put them to her. Rachel Cook, thank you so much. And we'll chat next week.
See you, Jen.
Lovely.
It's okay. You can all come out now, because sex therapist Rachel has now left the building. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.